lights on.
All right, the time is 6:04 p.m. on November 9th, 2022. I, James Schofield, would like to call this meeting of the Charter Review Commission to order. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Yes. We have Commissioner Glanz.
Here.
Commissioner Bunning.
Here.
Commissioner Disharu.
Here.
Chair Spoker.
Here.
Commissioner Anzunza.
Here.
And at the moment, we have Commissioner Hopita.
Rachel.
Commissioner McDonald Hernandez.
I'm actually here.
Commissioner McDonald Hernandez.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So we have a quorum. And is Commissioner Hopita coming?
He accepted, so.
So maybe. Okay, that's good. Public comments is a section on the agenda for members of the public to address the board on items that are not listed on the agenda. There are no public here. Were there any emails?
Or? No public comments.
Okay. So I want to reorder the schedule briefly so city attorney can leave. So we'll go to 4.5. Review and discussion of Measure K preliminary election results. Do the commissioners have any clarifying questions for staff before we go to public comment? No? Okay. And there is no public comment. So, it says here the commissioners have questions or comments, but why don't we, if it's okay with everyone, let the city attorney say what he has to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate you reorganizing the schedule for me, and really just want to express my appreciation for this group's fine work on Measure K. I think as most of you have seen, although votes remain to be counted, and we don't really know how many or from where or what the inclination is of the remaining pool of votes, but Measure K looks like it is going to be approved resoundingly.
Hear ye. All right. Here we go.
Current little chatter. Current vote count is 21,405 yes votes to 12,535 no votes. That's 63% to 34%, approximately. And for something that's just kind of out there and down ballot, where we kind of were limited in what you could do to promote it, right, using city resources, essentially, nothing. In an environment where people are usually, when they don't understand something, they vote no against it. That's at least my inclination, and I think a lot of folks' inclination. That really made me feel good about the effort that this group put in over a long period of time, with a lot of work by a lot of you, a lot of work by staff, by the city clerk's office, input from all the other departments. You all know this because you received it and processed it and helped us translate it into language. I really think it's a great achievement, and probably the most significant achievement that any charter review commission has obtained in the last few generations of charter review commissions. Different, we've nibbled at it, right? And important things have been revised and updated, the way we elect people and adding design build, and updating and modernizing fairly recently as well our procurement practices. But to do a top to bottom review of the charter with the care and the thoughtfulness that you all put into it, and with the input from everybody that we had, and with a couple little substantive things that we're all a little concerned about, right? Might have thwarted the whole thing if something got caught up into a different narrative and people lost track of what it all was about and thought that was the most important thing. I was pretty anxious about it, I have to say. But Mr. Chair, appreciate your stewardship. Your argument in favor, I think, was really good and compelling, and I really just wanted to be here to express my appreciation for a very professional and noble and high-quality effort that is going to do a lot to modernize and streamline the way our city conducts its operations, and to give people who are trying to figure those things out themselves much more accessibility and understandability, you know, of how our charter, you know, works. So that's really what I wanted to offer to the group, Mr. Chair, my appreciation and heartfelt thanks. This is something I will look back on with great pride, you know, as an institution building exercise that you are all integral to getting over the finish line.
Well, thank you. I think we all have great thanks for you and the whole city attorney's office. I mean, wow. It's pretty impressive. The argument for, I feel everybody had a little piece of what I put in there, and especially Megan had made some couple major suggestions. So when the end came, I thought, did I even write this, you know? But
sounded like you.
Yeah, it sounded like me. My wife told me an interesting thing. A friend of hers was at a League of Women's Voters, and they were going through propositions. And they got to Measure K, and they said, yeah, we haven't looked at this so much, you know. And I don't know what kind of meeting it was with the League of Women's Voters. But anyway, they said, Schofield, James Schofield. Huh, isn't that Carolyn Schofield's husband? Carolyn's good, maybe we should endorse it. I'm thinking, oh, they got my name. Yeah. No, it's my wife's name.
It's your wife, that's right.
So anyway, so she helped.
Definitely.
So anyway, I don't know, anybody else want to make comments?
The resources I saw the city put out, I thought were very effective. I saw it on my Facebook feed at least 10 times over the last few weeks.
Oh, really?
And several of my friends and family members also saw it on their Facebook feed. And it explained, it was really why. Yeah. That we put money into doing that, right? Yeah. It's very effective.
Yeah.
And the reality is, this is the reality. I'm not going to poll you guys, but I already have a pretty good idea. No one reads newspapers. Nobody does. No one picks up the Star News that's rolled up on their driveway. Nobody does. It's extremely rare.
I wouldn't say.
Only the old school. Only the old school West Chula Vista people.
Us too.
Yeah, old school. I still do.
Head to toe.
I love the black ink on my fingers. I'm old school. I read the paper every day. I read three papers every day. But most people don't. And that's the reality. And most of the news that we have on television, local news, is very subjective now. And the reality is, most people, unfortunately, gather their news from social media. So why not take advantage of that platform? You can put it in by zip code, and the right people at the state, I'm not sure how it's orchestrated, but it was done by zip code, and it was placed all over the zip codes in the city of Chula Vista. It worked. And it leads you to the right side, what side, you can see it. It was beautiful. I tested it. But everyone, my sister-in-law, my friends, everyone saw it. Like, yeah, we saw Measure K through, and they clicked it. It was a city of Chula Vista happenings. Is that the one? See? I'm not making this up. It worked out great.
No, I saw it too. I remember seeing it.
I didn't see it. I just heard some negative narratives about it, and it all made me very anxious. So I'm glad it was out there in that form.
Yeah, I mean, the Democrat Party endorsed it. The Republicans were neutral. Party neutral.
I didn't even see that.
I had to search for it. So.
Yeah.
But that, you know, with those two situations, I think most people should vote for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the neutrals, that's a pleasant surprise, to be honest.
Yeah.
Given the couple of the provisions, right, the ones that we thought could be controversial.
Yeah, but there were two others that we, you know, I think it was good the way we segmented five things that we felt might be controversial, and two of them got rejected, and the others got accepted, and I think that helped a lot in the way of getting it done.
I thought it was great that Matt Hall at the UT, when they had one of the last mayoral debates, they made several references to Proposition K.
Oh, really?
And they asked debate questions to McCann and Campanajar, specifically on K, on city attorney's residency, on non-citizens, you know, residents being able to sit on boards and commissions. They were specific on every single one of them.
Very good.
Yeah. They discussed it. They discussed it for 10 minutes.
I missed that. I apparently missed the campaign. You were keeping good track of it.
I'm watching everything. I'm like, that.
And now in hindsight, I feel more confident about its passage.
And they discussed it. The UT also discussed it. Matt Hall was all over it. So they did a pretty good job.
Right on. Yeah. Very good. Well, that was it for me, Mr. There's really nothing to be done now. By this commission, although, you know, maybe a debrief, and maybe this could be that, right, of what people thought about what was good, bad, or otherwise, you know, about the process would be in order. But at this group's discretion, there will be some interesting analysis required, almost certainly to be done by outside counsel, given the nature of it, as to when this charter goes into effect, and how it might affect any kind of special election that might become necessary, and whether or not mail ballot, you know, can be used, and some other details of the election. There's some nuances there that will be analyzed, that ultimately the city council will be advised on and will evaluate for purposes of deciding when to call their election and potentially what kind of election, you know, if any, to have.
But
that's not this group's orbit.
Should we have put a date, effective date, in the thing?
It just goes into effect when the Secretary of State for the state of California certifies it, so it gets basically FedEx to them, and the registrar's final certification results get FedEx to them, and then they will certify the charter for any city in.
So somebody at the state certifies.
Yeah, so it's really by operation of law, right? You know, unless we had a reason to say this provision won't go into effect for you know, this number of period, you know, this time afterwards, and. Definitely one nuance that maybe we could have thought of that to address more directly is the extent to which provisions regarding elections, to the extent there was a special election pending, whether or not they would immediately go into effect, or an election that was already going on would be treated as an election entirely governed by the previous charter provisions.
Yeah, so you can't foresee everything.
You only feel like you should have, when in hindsight you look at it and go, here we are in this situation. If we thought of that, maybe we would have scripted it, you know, a little bit more. But it will be analyzed and advised on, and council will take that into consideration if and when there is any kind of special election going forward.
John, you want to say something?
Just relative to that, though, the issue is going to be when is that final vote going to be certified relative to the potential need for a special election?
Yes.
And if that certification takes longer than the certification for Measure K, then maybe that can all get done quick enough.
Yeah, we think the election will be certified at the same time. We think it'll be certified for purposes of the December 13th kind of swearing in of the new council.
It's not December 6th?
No.
December 6th is the last substantive council meeting with this existing council. The 13th, the old council will be ceremonially convened, and then unceremoniously dispatched for the swearing in of the new group, and then they will start acting on the 13th.
Okay, so the new group doesn't do any voting or decision making on the 6th.
No.
Okay.
No, because the election may not be certified then.
Right.
Okay. So the way we've got it set it up, it's the next to give them the certification occurs in whatever day it occurs, you know, in early December, and then the next meeting is the meeting at which everyone gets
certified. How long does the state take to certify to certify the actual charter?
I think they're giving up to 30 days, right, after the election?
Not the state. So the I think that's the county. So the county has told us they would take until about December 8th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking about the state.
Secretary of State, yeah. It's our understanding that they can turn it around pretty quickly. So if we're able to get it to them, it was Carrie's and our city clerk's impression that they could turn it around in a few days.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't think it has to go to outside counsel. It just take effect when it's certified, which would, you know.
No, there's some nuances to it that could affect even city attorney, you know, election that outside council will analyze.
How soon would they have to call? I'm assuming it'd be a 90-day. How soon would they have to call the special election for the city attorney's race if
there even is one?
Yeah.
It's in the charter.
Yeah, there are some options for what kind of election they would do. It could be as early as April.
90-day.
Or it could be, I think, or 85 days. I'm forgetting. The city clerk knows all this cold. But if it's going to be, if it's determined that a mail ballot election is an option, that would occur in May, because there's a mail ballot election day, specified, by the state. Or potentially they could decide to do it in November.
A November primary?
It would be the November general election. And any of them, unless there was an outright winner, could require a special a runoff election to determine the victor.
Right. If they didn't get over 50?
Nope. Yes, sorry. If no one candidate gets 50% plus one, there will need to be a runoff.
So it'd be a winner-take-all 11 months after, 12, 13 months later.
Yeah, either a winner-take-all...
Or another one 90 days after that.
Or another one some number of days after that.
So it could be 15, 16 months before there's a new city attorney.
It could go till as late as March 2024. But again, no one, there. In fact, it could be done on December 13th. There is some uncertainty. There's some analysis that will need to be done.
We don't know the result of the election yet.
Mm-hmm. I have a pretty good idea, but I got it. Don't forget I'm paying attention.
Well, they're going to have to do it for Steve Padilla anyway.
Well,
if the city council decides to hold an election instead of appoint.
But if there's a stalemate, stalemate.
They can appoint. Yeah, it could be 2-2.
They have 45 days or else they're forced. But if there's a force, they would have to call it within 90 days. They wouldn't have to wait till the November with the city attorney's race. Is that correct?
I think they have that's another thing that's still being analyzed as to whether or not they would align them and hold them together.
To save money. Mm-hmm.
There could be some economies of it. Yeah. There are different elections. One would be at large, right? Mm-hmm. And one would just be a district election. But there would still be some economies.
So there's a hypothetical situation. If it's in the spring of 2024, if someone doesn't win outright in that general, and they have a second general, and that person is elected in 2024, they're going to go 2 months later into a primary for their full term, and then in the general in November. So the city council person can possibly have to run three times in 1 year?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It does matter.
We don't need to figure that out.
Yeah, we were just talking some nuances about when the charter goes into effect and the kind of election that there might be. There's some nuances to that will be analyzed and clarified, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But thank you all so much.
I have one thing to bring up that is related to this, and that is an issue that I'm afraid to speak of almost. But do we want to look at the charter and its relation to how elections occur if there's a deceased or withdrawal? Because right now I know a lot of people aren't happy with the current way it runs in the charter. But on the other hand, a lot of places do it. I remember in Missouri, I don't know why, I grew up in Kansas, but they would have candidates dying and they would just run the election,
So here's the rub with that. So long as we are having the registrar of voters run our elections, us making our own rules would require us to run our own election if we wanted to make our own rules in that regard.
Unless it was a way to coincide with, once the ballot's set by the registrar of voters, I understand that.
And that's how the rule is interpreted now. So no matter what, no matter what our charter said, because our elections are run by the registrar, their rules apply because they're running the election.
Okay.
If we wanted to make our own rules, we could, but it would need to, if in fact our rules were inconsistent with how the registrar, was running them, we would need to run our own election. We're definitely not set up currently to do that. That was something that the city clerk did some at least preliminary research on in light of how absurd the cost, was from the registrar. Mm-hmm. And that may be something the city clerk explores in terms of building that capacity over time, because there could be any number of different circumstances where we may want to start, running our own elections, not just that rare and unique circumstance that you described. So there could be some things like that worth looking at, but just so you know, it wouldn't, if we were going to make that unique rule, at least the way things are currently set up, we'd need to run the election.
Okay. So that sounds like there's not much benefit to looking into that.
It's cost effective. Yeah. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It's very expensive if we ran our own elections.
Which would be more expensive than having a special election.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. That's the
well, we don't know exactly.
There was the thought that how could it be more expensive for us to do it? The problem with evaluating it and doing it in this instance was that we had never done it before. And to stand up an election that you're running yourselves in such a short period of time in a very high stakes, very tense environment right now, mm-hmm. right? That would be, the city clerk thought, a bridge too far. And so that was part of her, you know, analysis and not bringing forth something more emphatic to try to save the costs for that.
I think a lot of people just didn't understand what was happening. And once I explained, you know, I had a few people, and once I explained, well, you know, they go, I guess I get it.
Yeah. So, very good.
Anyway, okay. Well, thank you.
Any questions for me about the results or follow-up beyond what we've discussed already? Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
Really good seeing you.
Thank you. Good to see all of you.
Okay.
So now we'll go a lot quicker with my mouth.
So we'll jump back to 4.1. Next item on the agenda is item 4.1, approval of the October 12th meeting minutes. And do the commissioners have any clarifying questions for staff before we go to public comment? There's no public to make comments. I assume there's no emails. Were there any emails on any of the items on the agenda?
No public comments.
Okay. Have you had enough time to read? Do you have any comments or questions about the minutes?
No.
Are we ready to vote on it?
Yeah, I move we approve the minutes.
Moved.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So it passed by acclamation. Item 4.2, written communications. Communication from Commissioner Edgar Alpita requesting an excused absence from the September 21st, 2022 Charter Review Commission special meeting, and communication from Commissioner Michael Nzunza requesting an excused absence from the October 12th, 2022 Charter Review Commission meeting. Do you have any questions on this issue, on these mm-hmm. requests?
I'll respectfully abstain from the vote, and I think
well, we'll take them as two separate items.
Okay, I had COVID.
And you don't have to abstain, by the way. You can vote on your own app.
it wouldn't be the right thing to do, and I put my trust in the hands of my colleagues.
Okay, so do I hear an approval for Commissioner Opita's request?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, what about Commissioner Nzunza's request?
I'll leave the room if you
want. Nah,
I move that we approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay. So we got through those two. And just a comment, I think it's worthwhile to get on the record the requests for excused absences. So if for some reason you can't make it, I would encourage you to submit that. Take the time.
My request is for next month because I got it. I got the request in late.
Well, there's no. I don't think there's any official too late.
No.
Any meetings you've missed in the past that you have what you consider a valid excuse, I would submit it. Okay. Next item on the agenda is 4.3, discussion of ranked choice voting concept. I don't know if staff is there to answer questions on this at this point.
No, we don't have, so we, you guys, I believe, had talked the last meeting about having someone from the registrar's office come and talk, and this is obviously a very, very difficult time for...
Well, and this is preliminary discussion.
Yes, exactly. So, but at some point we have discussed how Carrie Bigelow, our city clerk, has been in regular conversations with the registrar of voters, so she does have information that she can come and update you on. Probably it would have to be a January meeting or later, just because this is also the busiest time of year for her. But she we did reach out to her. She's happy to come and discuss the options they've talked about with the registrar of voters and what other cities, particularly the city of San Diego, has been floating doing. So that might be something the registrar looks at having available in the future for future ballots.
So maybe February?
I think February is probably a good time.
Okay. That would be nice. That would give us a little time to review some materials and think of some questions. I had asked people to take a look at the bibliography that we had printed out, and at least two items on there, I had put an asterisk. One was pretty short from the Union Tribune, and the other was a report to the San Diego City Council on what they were thinking, or what this one group called More Choice San Diego, I have to look at my notes, had presented this proposal to the San Diego City Council, and they decided to wait on it. They didn't reject it. That was a little more hard going, I think. But anyway, are there any comments on those things? Did you have a chance to look at them, or any comments about ranked choice voting?
I think there's a real good succinct presentation of what it is in Ballotpedia. And so I would note that. And also there's a couple of cities that just passed ranked voting. One was Portland, Maine. But I'm strongly in favor of that. So just for what that's worth.
Okay, so I could add the Ballotpedia.
Yeah.
Ballotpedia reference. I looked at it, but I didn't think to add it. And you say Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine. I think San Francisco, which I have confidence.
I think San Francisco already has
ranked
choice voting. Right. Not for everything, maybe, but for a lot of things. Yeah, that's good.
I was trying to compare some of the different things to ranked choice voting, and it seems out of all the other options, ranked choice voting does seem to be the best option relative to
simple.
Yeah, it's not just simple, but it allows more people to have more input on who actually gets elected, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the goals on the More Choice San Diego report. One of them was more choice and more people, trying to get more turnout and stuff. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to all this.
My comment would be appreciation of you pulling that together, and the links were really helpful, and it made reviewing that material really easy. And I'll check out Ballotpedia and look at that as well. My knowledge and opinion right now is the ranked choice appears to be head and shoulders the best. If we're going to change, that would be the method that I would advocate we approach.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
No? I mean, I'm open to see other options, you know, that I hadn't thought of, but that one looks good to me, that I know of.
Yeah, I mean, and then within ranked choice, there's variations. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you... One thing that puzzled me a little is in the More Choice, the proposal they did to San Diego City Council, they said Alaska did five, they had five things, but if you saw the general election that we just had, it only had three choices. And I thought, that's a little discrepancy. Maybe they had more choices in the primary. But in this case, in Alaska, one of the arguments for ranked choice voting is it eliminates the need for a primary, because you can figure it all out in one election. But they obviously didn't do that. They went from some number of choices in the primary to three choices in the general. And then they're going to apply the what I'd call the real ranked choice, where whoever came in last, their votes get reassigned to the other two. And the question, one of the big questions is, where do you draw that line? You know, where is, what's the threat, and what's the threshold for winning? Everybody assumes it's 50%, but you could make it 40%. You know, whoever wins with the most votes with 40% or more. I mean, I don't, you know, there's all kinds of options you can do.
I think that the selection of what type should be the step one, because there's multiple, you know, diverse voting methods. And if, for example, we were to select, okay, ranked choice is clearly the superior methodology that we would advocate looking at revising our system too, then the next step would be garnering everyone's feedback on the best practice. And then as we move forward, we would install what we think, as well as if San Diego is going to do something, there just seems to be so much synergy of trying to align with what they do and how they do it. That's so far where I'm at.
Yeah, in other words, basically look at what, like, for example, Alaska's example, and say, okay, well, even though we want to try to eliminate primaries, if you have X number of people on the ballot, then maybe you should narrow it down to three and then have a general with those three kind of.
Yeah, and as more and more communities gravitate towards a different method and ranked, if we select it, then you've got some, you know, really easy feedback that you could do, you know, a market feedback analysis. Hey, what do you like about the way you've changed, and what do you don't like, and what would you feel is the best practice? And you kind of compile that and come up with, for us, we would advocate it, you know, this way. Then you segregate, you know, we really must have this type of approach, or we could live with this, and then that's how we kind of tailor what we do or align it with San Diego. Maybe. That's just
It's a great idea to try and get voter feedback on this issue, not besides just having meetings and getting people to come in, but to do some outreach and get some active feedback from people.
What's going on with San Diego? What's the status there? I don't know.
City of San Diego, back in April, June, this says June, but I think something happened in April. There's a proposal, and it's on the bibliography. Do we have a written one, by any chance, with you?
No.
But on the, if you look at the previous agendas, you'll see the attachment.
Yeah, sorry.
And I think, well, no, it's a good question. And there were two items that had an asterisk, and those were like the, I think, the beginning point, the starting point of a little, some reading. And it gives this document. Actually, maybe I'll just give this to you. At the end of the meeting. I don't need it. I just wanted it for reference. So they made a proposal, More Choice San Diego, made a proposal to the city council in great detail, including the actual measure or proposition, and recommended it. City council was tentative about it. I think that was the word they used in the Union Tribune article. So they decided to postpone it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
There's some things I didn't like about what they said, but nothing huge.
Well, they might have taken it straight to the city council as opposed to going through like something like a charter review commission or something.
They went through the rules committee.
They did?
Yeah, but the rules committee didn't want to present it. Didn't think it was appropriate for them to recommend it.
It shouldn't be that complicated. Maybe that's the problem, you know?
But it is complicated. There's an interesting one in here. They come in at Burlington, Vermont. They had ranked choice voting. They had three candidates. The last place candidate, by the time they finished reassigning all the votes, won the election. But that candidate never got any first or second place votes.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Maybe there were more than three. Anyway, the person that won was immediately had some scandal or something, got kicked out, and they got rid of ranked choice voting. But then they brought it back. And this is kind of the history. Ranked choice voting goes back for 100 years, maybe.
Makes me nervous.
And they've been adopted and canceled and readopted or never readopted or accepted and never canceled. I mean, it's happened a lot.
And you kind of wonder if it private outfit is pushing for it, you got to, you know, it makes you a little bit suspicious.
Well, I think it's a non-profit.
Now you're onto something.
Yeah.
No, anyway. we talked that last meeting about, you know, the environment right now is, people are more anxious, it appears, over election activity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get anxious on change to begin with. There's not a whole lot of factual information that the public has at their fingertips. And that's the beauty of the Charter Review Commission. We can deep dive, get some facts, get feedback from people that are using it as far as the government, and feedback from people that are consuming it as the voters, and move forward with facts and analysis to kind of diffuse. But it is the environment right now to advocate a change in election system, you can expect negative reactions from at least a small percentage of our community just to naturally exist, yes. I believe.
Yeah, and some highly energetic reactions.
The vocal few.
I mean, a disadvantage of ranked choice voting is it's more complicated to understand. You know, I mean, you're like, okay, there's five choices and I got to choose all five of them. You know, or what if we have 10 choices? In some cases, you could have 8 or 9. You know, so that's why they have a threshold, you know, you only choose 5. So it's not really ranked choice in the same way. Mm-hmm. It does get complicated. There's, and people have to be educated.
Yeah. There's multiple variations of ranked choice as well.
Yeah.
And so, I would think if we were to change and go that route, that more people would run because of the possibility of, I'm not the Democratic candidate, I'm not the Republican, but now that we're doing ranked, there's an environment where I do have a chance. And that's the beauty, that's the attractiveness of it to me. And I've said all along, you know, what's not broke, don't go try to fix it. But when you delve into this, there are some improvements, I think, about kind of driving out the extremism. That's what I'm concluding with it. And gaining candidates that know, if I can appeal to the centrist and appeal to more people, I have a better chance of withstanding a nonpartisan. And I like that about it.
Yeah.
And I think it would dissipate some of the, you know, just the animosity and divisiveness that we see in elections now.
Well, I mean, National City Mayor election is interesting because Ron Morrison has about 35% to 40%, last I looked, somewhere in there. And he's leading the other two candidates. The other two candidates are both Democrats. If you had ranked choice voting, it's entirely possible he would not win because Jose and Alejandra, you know, and what you're trying to avoid, once you want to have them run, make more choices, you also want to avoid the Democratic Party dictating who gets to run. You know, well, we're going to support one of them. Anyway, in this particular case, that would have been, you know, so you're trying to take the party influence out of the election as well. So there's pluses and minuses. But one point you made is where the city of San Diego goes, we may almost be forced to go. And where the state of California goes, and Glenn Guggen's pointed this out, we may be forced to go. Otherwise, it gets expensive. So my thought is to be preemptive.
Right.
And I don't know the appropriateness of this, but, you know, the city of San Diego starts to have hearings. We could go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, study it.
And make a comment or whatever, saying, you know, we're the city, you know, we're from the Charter Review Commission. I don't know if it has to be us or a council person or who it would be, if it's even appropriate.
You could go as private individuals as long as you were representing just yourself and not as a member of the commission, or if the commission voted to represent something at another, then you could go and represent the position or the ideas of the... But you'd be fine and much safer just appearing as a private individual. And
but not as powerful an impact.
Potentially.
And would we have to get the city council's permission? Not as a private, no, but as a commission, we probably would.
You just wouldn't be speaking for the city, of course. You would just be asking questions on behalf of the Charter Review Commission, or just saying we're willing to speak, you know, or collaborate on anything or talk about anything like that, but you wouldn't be representing the city's position.
Yeah, we kept it to asking questions. Mm-hmm. And not.
Do we know what the status of San Diego City is? Do they have any hearing on this even?
Not at the moment, because they got too caught up on the elections. So that's just why they postponed it.
But I think that's the point of the dialogue. You know, whenever you go first, it's more difficult, but what you establish becomes a benchmark. When you go second, you inherit that benchmark, but it's easier because the trail has been blazed.
Well, if they do a good job, I'd think we'd want to be synchronized.
But that's the risk, right? Yeah. It's like, do you have confidence that that's the benchmark that you want to align to?
What's going on over there?
Well, they're worried about free trash in a sports arena that's over 30 feet tall.
Okay.
Is it a coastal city?
That was a proposition. The other thing is, you know, there's this feeling some people have that, you know, the city of San Diego is three times bigger than Chula Vista. Chula Vista is the second largest city in the county. But it seems like where San Diego goes, everybody has to follow. And some people don't like that, and they object to that. And so it would be nice to get our two cents in early in the discussion and make our presence known, so that people go, oh, yeah, we should think about what other people want, too.
I agree. That's what I was kind of...
And I think with the state, too, you know. I mean, again, at the state, we'd have to go as a private citizen. But they'll have hearings.
Is there something percolating with the state?
Not specifically that I know of, but...
That's where it should be.
It's probably coming down the line.
I think that's right.
But different cities and locales have ranked choice for some elections and not for others.
Right.
For local, not for this, for state, you know, for president, but not this.
They'll preempt it, probably.
It's a mess, in a way. So I don't
know. We could probably only do it for city elections. If the state would have to govern state elections.
Right.
So.
And that's right.
And
unless they probably could pass a law. They won't do that, though.
Same, no, they won't try to control
it. Well, city, I don't...
especially charter cities.
Yeah, they won't do that.
Yeah, the water districts and stuff, school boards, I don't know. I mean, that's county. Who has jurisdiction over school board elections?
Some of them are their own districts. It just depends. So there are, like, the water authority is its own kind of agency. But the difficulty is that if you have different voting systems in one election, so if you have state candidates or you have one form of voting because the state does it this way, county candidates that we're all voting on, or you use one form and then the city has a ranked choice for its candidates, that can get very confusing for voters, that they have to switch between voting methods.
It shouldn't be.
So that is one complication in it. If everyone's not using the same system, it can get a little bit complicated.
Yeah. I mean, in here they say if the instructions are well done, then it'll solve the problem and they move on. And I'm like...
Well, that's true, actually, but...
You should try it in Arizona first, see how that works out.
Proof is in the pudding.
But I think the sweet spot is I've gained a lot of confidence in Chula Vista government through my interaction with the board. I feel like we should be on the crest based on the competencies that I've encountered and all the support in the board. It would be great if we could catch the wave out front and kind of, you know, pull the other entities. Because I am concerned about, well, if you're voting this section, you've got this method and this method. I just don't see that being the best practice. It would be great if those entities could kind of align at the same time. And if we could do a lot of upfront work with some semblance of, hey, this is a template of what we all should be doing. Then you have some negotiation with the other entities, because everything I read is this is becoming more and more popular, and I think it relates back to the environment that I've mentioned before. You know, people are a little bit frustrated, and my previous comment of it ain't broke, I think I'm an outlier, and I think a lot of people are concerned about our election process. I don't know if it's valid, but I think they're concerned.
Yeah, it works until it doesn't.
One of the things that ranked choice voting would work especially well for probably would be special districts like water districts and school districts, because then they can eliminate, that would definitely help them eliminate primary issues and things like that. They could just, with those kinds of entities, and they could even do something like, okay, ranked choice 40% and you're in kind of thing. Because usually you'll have a laundry list of people running. I remember I saw, five different people running for one of the Chula Vista, or I think, was one of the Chula Vista school board positions, and I voted for the guy I knew, even though I think he's crazy, but anyway.
And that does not surprise us.
So, I mean, it's interesting, because some of those elections are, you know, there's 10 candidates, choose five. And there is a ranked choice version to deal with that kind of situation.
And it does get a little complicated.
And if you could have one election instead of two, but people are really used to the primary in general.
Yeah, I think you have a primary, the way I'm thinking at it at the moment, the way I'm thinking of it is you have a primary, if you don't get a 50%, however the ranked voting works out, then you have a general with the ones that are left. It can get kind of complicated. I hadn't thought of that situation where you have pick five of 10, and it's got to be ranked.
You got to have room for 10 numbers, too.
Yeah, but people, in my opinion, people need to, you know, have enough, their act enough together to be able to do a ranked choice. Come on. So I say, you know, let's do our own thing. Go for it.
Let me sort of summarize. I mean, where do we go from now? I think, one, it's clear most people at least are interested in continuing this discussion, looking into this. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we should.
So number two, I think it would be important to know where the city of San Diego is in the process. And I don't know if that's something, Megan, you or someone could look into.
Yeah. Go on a field trip and just show up as private citizens.
Well, is there going to be a meeting? And then
I can reach out to the city. Our city clerk is familiar with what was going on in the city of San Diego because that was part of her discussion when she discussed the issue with the Registrar of Voters. Because that could save costs if a couple agencies did it together, right. Since there would have to be a lot of voter outreach and training and things like that if people were to go this way. So it would be easier to split the costs within the jurisdiction. But yes, I can reach out to the city clerk and see if she has contacts either at clerk's office at the city of San Diego or some type of information about where they are and if there's any thought to bring it back, that it might come back before the council or before one of the...
The council president over there should know or refer you to who would know. And I'd like to hear at the next meeting what they're up to in San Diego.
I could ask the city attorney.
Yeah. The city attorney has.
I'm representing the city in a couple of cases, so...
Yeah, I think it doesn't hurt if more than one person asks. More than one person, as long as we're not asking the same people. Because they could get confused, you know. Like, well, somebody just called me from Chula Vista about that.
Yeah, and then if you had someone that you wanted to speak at a future meeting, if you just let the chair know, then the chair can place things on the agenda, so then he can let Doris know to add an item to the agenda that there'll be a presentation by someone if it's coming from... Yeah.
I think we should book whoever that person was that you said was going to be busy this season.
I think get
that person booked.
Carrie,
city clerk. Maybe we could try for February. See if she's mm-hmm. could
early
do February.
Possible.
Yep.
Maybe she's open.
So we've got three things. Continue, see where San Diego City's at, see about getting Carrie to come in February. I mean, that's,
or early.
I think, enough to try and accomplish.
Yeah, we can keep exploring what other option, what other rank? It sounds like
yeah,
a
I think we
choice.
Need to have more knowledge about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, I'd like to see, for example, you talked about Burlington. Okay, Burlington brought it back. Well, did they bring it
Can
back exactly
that,
the same, or did they
group
fix it?
Make a presentation to us.
I suppose mm-hmm. so, but I'm afraid to ask until we know we're really ready.
Oh, okay.
Because they make it all excited, and then it's like, oh my goodness, okay. How do I get rid of
it? It depends on how you present it to them.
Well, I know, but we want to be sure. You know, don't invite somebody to your party unless you really know.
And they probably have information on their website that we could use anyway.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we could. I mean, this is public information, and there's a lot in here. But yeah, it might be useful. I don't know if they are a...
They want to be paid.
What do you call that? A consultant type thing where they want to get paid to show up
they
and make
will.
A presentation.
So I don't, we don't need that.
But maybe they don't. I don't know. It's a collection.
Maybe someone's paying them already. Who knows?
Yeah, and then maybe they don't care if they share.
So I would think, you know, in parallel of getting people to come in, and I would suggest, unless we're already there, continue to do the homework of the types of voting or election systems, come to an individual position that says, everything I see tells me ranked voting, once again with best practices established maybe a little bit later, would be what we would advocate. Unless everyone's already there, I think we should take that step before the next meeting.
I was comfortable with that Ballotpedia, but
wait,
you know.
I don't understand. You want people to read materials, investigate a little more, do some thinking, and come to some sort of decision whether you're in favor or opposed to ranked choice voting?
Yeah, the advocated change of our system could be several election systems.
Okay.
We should come next week and go, ranked voting, I think, you know, there's a lot of information out there. Once again, reading all of that stuff, to me, right now, I haven't looked at Ballotpedia, I haven't looked at other systems, other communities, and I'd like to do that. And then we come in and say, you know, the more I dug into it, ranked voting wound up second with me. But we should come to a consensus on that really is the path that we're going to choose. Because we very quickly are going to have to pick one type because of all the nuances. And
yeah.
that would be the step.
We don't want to have San Diego, Chula Vista, the state, all different things.
Right.
I don't think.
No. But. I mean, it would be ideal, I think, to have them the same. But frankly, I am not as knowledgeable as I should be. We should have all the options laid out to consider.
I think that's the bibliography gives. It's not comprehensive by any means. But there's a lot there to look at and to learn from.
What other than ranked voting is there? What's the other stuff?
Well, there's various kinds of ranked choice voting, and they all have different this and that, and there's... Anyway, I think we've got enough to go on now, so we can, between now and our next meeting, and by the way, I'm thinking next meeting is January, not December.
I would agree with that, I guess.
For a lot of reasons, but I don't know, that's what I'm thinking. So that would give us more time to do some thinking and research and reading and whatever. And maybe by January we would know if Carrie could come in February and might know something about the city of San Diego. But maybe not. They may all just, the election's over.
Yeah. Exhaustion.
Okay, so is it fair to move on from this item? Any comments? Last minute comments? The only one comment I want to make is in here they said something about we have one chance to get this right. And I thought, I don't know if I agree with that, but I understand their thinking. If you implement it and it doesn't work or it's too complicated or whatever, right. People are just going to say no. So you really want to have it well planned out. People don't mind little glitches so much. But okay. Unless there's no comments, we'll move on to agenda item 4.4, which is discussion regarding presentation to the City Council about Charter Review Commission work. So the idea was that someone or ones from this commission, and hopefully someone from the staff, the city attorney's office, could make a short presentation to the City Council saying, you know, this is what we do here, why we're here, and think of us if this is on your mind. I don't know. I think that's what we were discussing. Do you have a comment?
I do have a staff comment. So since we'll be onboarding a new council for a significant number of new council members, there are planned workshops for the council members that will be once a month. To introduce them to all kinds of things like the city budget, procurement, and public works projects, things like that. And one of the trainings will be boards and commissions. And that training is tentatively scheduled for May 4th, where the city council will be provided, and I believe it's a Thursday, the first Thursday of the month, will be provided with an overview of all the boards and commissions and what they do. I reached out to the city manager's office who's organizing those and asked if there would be an opportunity for specific boards or commissions to come and give a presentation at that time period. She said that's possible, but because there are so many boards and commissions, that would be a very long training. So it was possible, but there may just be a shorter version of what you do on that night if you wanted to do something more comprehensive. There's always an agenda item held for boards and commissions, and if you wanted to do a presentation to council or solicit feedback or anything like that, it would just require a vote of the majority of the members to put an item on the agenda, and then you could contact the city clerk, the chair can, to request that item be put under the boards and commissions section of the agenda for a given any particular Tuesday. It would just need to be enough time to agendize
right.
and publish and all of that, but that's the way to do it. So you could choose your own meeting, vote on that, and present something to council on that date, or you could see, once we get more information about the May 4th date, what that might look like and whether there might be an opportunity for you to present that night. But
okay, can I say something? Two thoughts come to mind. One, on the May 4th meeting, if I or someone else could just come and say, hi, I'm a member of the Charter Review Commission. My name is blah, blah, blah. Thank you for coming to this training session.
And
it could be that short. I think it would be, it's good for them to get the face, I reckon, because that's all they may remember anyway, if you're lucky. Because I've been to training sessions like that. It's tough. And the other is that for the city council, I'm thinking we would say something for 10 minutes at max. 10 minutes, no more. 5, 2.
Do we normally do this?
Happen.
Or is that
the
fiscal year? I thought that, didn't we do that before at like the end of the year or something?
I write a report.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But is that not what we present? Or we just.
We don't present it. We just write I don't know who's supposed to write the report, by the way. I don't know if it's staff or me, but I didn't write it.
Oh, okay.
It was already done. That didn't get done.
So yeah, no, for this slide, it's done at the end of June. But anyway,
year,
I write a report and it just gets sent.
Yeah, okay,
to them.
So this is something different?
This would be an actually get up in front of them and say, hi, I'm.
Because we're going to have new city council members, or?
So many new city council members.
Yeah.
They
we wait? When would they
see,
start?
That's what I was thinking. We might want to wait until after the May 4th thing to.
It
and
could be a year
help.
And a half.
That'll help build on that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, on the other hand, maybe you want to get your 2 cents in first and make it 2 minutes or 5 minutes and just talk about some of our past accomplishments.
Well, as it is, we're already. Megan's politely telling us, I can read between the lines, that is not going to happen. That's the first thing to get out of it. Number two is that's 6 months after they're elected, and we might have the 4 city councilmen and the new city attorney if there's a special election 9 months to a year and a half from now.
I don't think it'll be that late. I thought it was
it's
June.
It's highly likely.
So if there's a special election, I thought it was June.
There'll be another new city councilman.
No, there would be a special election potentially if it were an in-person, although it would be a very quick turnout in April. Otherwise,
yeah.
The other date for mail-in
mm-hmm.
would be May. They have to align with dates set by the state.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's not too far.
Or
so
even November.
It depends on the year.
Even November's a possibility. And if
you would align it with the state elections.
Yes. Yes.
So the only state
yeah.
elections next year that are calendared would be the May mail-in, and then would be the November.
Yeah,
and none is currently scheduled for November, so one would have to actually be scheduled for November in order for us to piggyback on that. Otherwise, we'd be.
Why would we wait that long?
Because the third new city council member would then be on there.
Well, the registrar
yeah.
voter has
yeah.
their schedule, and the state has their schedule, right?
I think the only thought about that, and they'll present to council on this issue. I think on December 13th, but. Because it's so costly to run our own election, if the registrar has to run the election for us and we are the only item on the ballot, we finance the entire election. If we can piggyback on another election that's already existing, we pay less money. So if there is no election until November for the county,
yep.
that could theoretically be a cost
right.
savings
November,
election, I think
then.
Is the idea.
Whatever.
Should we table this?
So
if he wins
yeah,
in November 50%, then there'll be another election after that, 90 days later.
So... You know how this all works, and you know my thought is to get to them quickly and get our face recognized. But the other thought is, what's the point? Because,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, what is your opinion?
I think in some ways it could be helpful to go after they get an introduction to boards and commissions in general, so they have an idea. Even you know they have an overview of what everyone does, and now they get someone coming back. They're going to be the two that will be onboarded immediately, right, will the third Padilla seat will be empty and won't be filled for a while, unless they appoint someone. If they appoint someone, then we will have someone. But those two new people are really going to have a lot coming at them. That's very new on so many different areas. It could, if there wasn't a reason to present something sooner, it might be helpful to wait until after the boards and commissions introduction. So then it makes sense. Okay, we've heard about all of these. Now here's one coming back and giving us more detailed information about what.
Right. I mean, at this point, maybe they'll be sitting there thinking, "Why are you wasting my time?"
Yeah.
And it's not like we have anything burning that they need to know about anyway.
I think from you a nice, well out, two paragraph letter. What we do within a month after they get elected, and then the following one. We're not going to get in front of them. We're not going to be able to present them for 5 to 10 minutes, along with the other dozen or so boards. It's just not going to happen. But from you, coming from you as the chair of our board, especially that we just passed Prop K from, you know, when's the last time it was revised? 1978? Kind of nice.
On that scale.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of nice as the chairman if you wrote a letter, 2-3 paragraphs, nice and simple, and you kind of discuss the importance of why Prop K was passed and what we did. And this is kind of what we do. Nice and simple, just like an introduction.
Yeah. Does that seem appropriate? And can I do that? Write letters?
You are able to submit a written communication to council for any meeting. It would just be that you would have the written communication drafted and the board would vote to submit it to council. And then it could just be sent electronically to council and it would be attached to their packet, basically, that they get.
Which they may or may not read.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Does that seem a reasonable thing to you?
It's really up to you. It could be a brief introduction. It's up to
you. It's not up to me. I'm asking.
Is it the commission worth?
I guess from your experience, because you have a lot more experience dealing with city council, is it worthwhile? Considering my effort and time is,
I don't think it is
zero.
There's no point.
I'm retired. Is it worth my time to send something like that? Is there a chance?
They're going to be bombarded with stuff, so if they read it, I'd be surprised. I would do something in person after the...
Yeah, when you have something to go there for.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of important stuff they don't read as it is.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Okay. So I brought this up because I always want to sort of promote...
Yourself.
And not myself, but the group. Myself and the group that I'm working with and whatever, but it doesn't sound like it would be effective at this point.
No.
We should wait.
Everyone says to wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it might be helpful later, you might have things that you can explain. These are the things we're currently working on and we may be bringing before you in the coming year, and that way you'll have already those things you've been working on from the beginning.
Let's talk
I
about
mean, feel free if you want to go.
Yeah,
I won't
we'll talk about it again later on.
I won't oppose it if you want to go, but I don't see...
Yeah, no, so I say cancel that idea or table it for the
Yeah,
for
table
a while.
It because we could...
And the question about it in May is... This training session that is done for the new city council members, is the public available, can come?
It is open to the public, and they also said that they would encourage some of the board and commission members to come to the event if they're able to.
Okay.
Just to kind of introduce themselves and...
okay.
When is that?
It's going to be May 4th.
I'd like to go to that.
So and I'll provide more information as more specific details become available. That's been tentatively calendared. So as soon as they give us more information, they'll be pushing it out. My understanding is that the city manager's office or the city clerk will be notifying all of the boards and commissions that the state is scheduled for this and providing more information for
Okay.
them.
So, yeah, just keep in mind we want to do that. I think we want to, right?
Yeah.
Someone, one or more of us. And we just say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm with this commission.
I'd like to go to that.
Okay. So put us
there. I'm still...
But I'll get a letter and then I'll remind you. Okay, so that ends that item, and I believe
that's it.
Except I would like to suggest that we not meet in December, but that our next meeting be
January 11th, 2023.
We looked it up. January 11th, 2023.
I second that suggestion.
So moved.
Well, yeah, we don't have to. So, staff comments.
No further staff comments.
Doris?
No.
I just want to thank both of you again so much for everything you've done to get the Measure K.
You get to have your paychecks. I think. I assume.
I don't have any comments. Any commissioners, any comments?
I had a couple ideas that I wanted to maybe get on the next agenda. One is, significantly increasing the number of city council persons. I'm just saying I'd like to have that considered. And also my thing about neighborhood councils. I'd like that to be agendized as well. Getting neighborhood councils in place. I brought it up before, but I don't know if anybody remembers.
I remember, actually. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up again.
All right.
City of San Diego has that already.
Hmm. Right, number
and,
do.
And okay. Maybe you could look into that, okay. See how it works.
Right.
And I remember John Moot, when he was running for something.
Yeah.
He also...
city attorney.
Yeah, I think it was that, but it might have been some other. But he also had some idea about having some kind of similar concept.
I'll look into it.
And what they do, whether it's purely advisory, whether they actually have any power,
that's got
to
be.
Those are big variations. Yeah. But maybe you could look in. I mean, right. Chula Vista is close to 300,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. It only have five, in my opinion.
Yeah.
San Diego has what, 13 or 15? They only have nine.
City of San Diego is huge, but nine's a.
Yeah, they
I
had.
It was
they
more
had
than
the bigger
eight,
it gets, the harder
it is.
They
had eight up until just 6 years ago.
Well, I think there should be more. I mean, what is Los Angeles has like
15?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're
anyway.
They're 20 million people.
Have you seen that meeting?
So
yeah.
So Todd,
we've heard them.
10 times the size.
They should have more.
So I have a question, Todd. Yeah. If you had to pick one of those to bring up on the next meeting in January.
Next meeting.
Which
council seats. I'd listen to that.
I don't know.
That'd be fun.
What's that?
I'm not asking
increasing
neighborhood. I'm not asking for a presentation or anything, but just which is a higher priority for you.
Oh,
make it count, Todd. Make it count.
You don't have to tell me now. Think
I'm
about
a procrastinator.
It.
All right,
so I'm giving you that opportunity to procrastinate.
Simple litigation defense attorney procrastinator.
Just let Doris
would never know what
know,
that is.
Or Megan know.
I'd say neighborhood councils is probably more likely to get.
It's more likely to
done.
Get
done. Proof, yeah.
Right. Well, just asking
next,
for some information.
But anyway, yeah. Those two things.
Yeah.
Assuming I'm
so maybe on the next
assuming
agenda we could include the ranked choice voting and neighborhood councils.
That would be the problem.
I don't know of anything else at this point. But anyway, if you do have ideas, just let the staff know. So
actually,
can,
for agenda items, it either has to be the chair that puts it on the agenda,
right.
The agenda, or a vote of the commission.
Yeah. But they're going to communicate through you to get to me. They don't email me directly.
No, she's talking about your agenda.
One-on-one conversation, if someone wanted to put something on the agenda and they weren't the chair, they could email you directly. That's only
right.
One,
that
would violate the quorum rules. So they would email you directly if you agreed to put it on yourself. You could ask to put it on, or if you wanted the board to or the commission to vote as to whether it should go on, then you would do that. But you would have the authority to do it either way.
Oh, okay. So it's okay if the people email me directly.
If it's just one, if they're not emailing the group, that's fine.
Yeah.
A group email would violate the Brown Act.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, good. So we got those two items for next time at the moment. I think that's all we need
great.
At the moment. I think that's it. Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Yep.
You don't have to make a motion because I'm just going to say it. It is 7:12 p.m. and I'm adjourning this meeting to the next meeting, charter review on January 11th, 2023, 6 p.m.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Happy holidays,
everybody.
Happy holidays.
Happy
holidays.
Happy
holidays.
Okay.
Or maybe we won't.
God willing.
The city's attorney's office gets cleaned out.
Well,
and I won't see it.
Well, besides the fact that the park.